Blog Talk Radio.
Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible? Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality.
And this is another edition of the What If Show. Welcome everyone, and how lucky am I to have Aditi on the show tonight. Aditi, I think before I go into, who you are, and actually I'd love for you to introduce yourself to the people. Before I get there, I am so curious about today's topic. So I look forward to, the fun that we can have in exploring something that is, I almost want to say, something taboo. It's not something that we really talk about, and that is black magic and going beyond that. So thank you for being willing to be on the show and actually talk about this topic with us.
Thank you for having me. Hi, everybody. This is actually one of my favorite topics, and it's so interesting because I've been facilitating Talk to the NCU classes using the tool of active consciousness for about a couple of years now, and it's so interestingly emerged that a lot of people started showing up in my life asking to be cleared with this area, and it's not something that I was very keen on doing, and sometimes you really don't get a canvas. So I started doing it, and it seemed that I was pretty good with it, and it started showing amazing results with people. So that's how now it is a specialty class, and it's a lot of fun for me to facilitate this for people either in private sessions or in a class, and it's such a fun topic.
It is, yeah, because I think one of the first things that I can see people when they see that is a lot of fear. So I'm curious what your take is on the topic.
Well, the fear is, human beings really fear only things that they don't explore or which is unknown. And I'm actually a very weird creature that way. When something is unknown, I think my curiosity sort of, overtakes any level of fear that I may be having, and I sort of dive in. And if people were really equipped with an understanding as to how this works and that it's so easy for them to just dismantle it within a few minutes, the fear would really disappear from their lives.
Okay, wow. So I know that if people talk about black magic, if I have to think about black magic, what comes up in my mind is conjuring up all kinds of stuff to, almost attack other people and not just make them bend to my way, but to almost have, almost bad stuff happen to them. Is that truly what it is about?
Well, that is the experience that a lot of people have with this. And it's interesting because, it's never really occurred with me personally, but I've not been one of those kind of people that even buys that this can occur with me. So it's just a point of view that the person takes that reality with this topic. And I often find that people come to me with this saying, I really want to talk to you about something very serious. And I think there's somebody who's doing black magic. So I'm like, oh, and what do you mean by that? I think they've put a spell on me. Or, they've gone through, in India, we have tantric, you have the voodoo practitioners, and they do that kind of stuff. And work on these people, and because they believe us. So it's really a matter of showing where they are willing to be disempowered by somebody else.
Hi. There we go. Hey. Sorry, you lost me for a moment. We were talking about people being disinvited. How funny is that? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, so I missed the last bit that you said. I don't know if you'd like to repeat that, please.
Yeah, so the last thing I actually said was that having black magic in your life is a great indication as to the extent to which you're willing to be a victim and willing to be disempowered by what other people create and, you know, willing to be at the effect of others. And it's really, you're in a place where you're not willing to truly be you, and it's really easy to sway you or take away from you. So the presence of black magic, I feel, can be more than a curse. It's actually a tremendous gift because it helps. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry, this is so interesting. I've not had something like this before.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not uncommon when we're talking about entities and dark entities and all of that kind of stuff. Well, just interesting. Okay. So let me try to do some work and clearing around this while we're talking. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So, the one thing that I found when you were talking about the disempowering, well, there's a couple of things. The one area about that is it almost is as if it becomes an easy story for people to fall back on so that they do not have to choose for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest limitations that people love to wave in your face, saying that, oh, you know, it's a very poor me. I'm a victim. I just cannot go beyond this huge thing that's there in my life. And it's not uncommon that, you know, if a person comes for a session or comes to a class, that they still choose that in spite of having the tools. And, you know, it used to hugely be frustrating for me earlier until I really recognized that it's something that they are choosing.
Okay.
You know, so it really shows that, you know, having black magic in your life is a choice.
Yeah, and it's only as powerful, most likely, as the power you give it.
Totally.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Totally. Yeah. You could make it really significant and have it rule every area of your life. You could create illnesses, diseases. You could invite a lot of entities into your space, into your home, into your business. You could destroy your money flows. There are just amazing amounts of things that you can actually create when you buy into this.
I would like for us to look into, you know, some of the different areas that you spoke of. Before we get there, the one thing as well that I'm wondering, all right, because black magic seems to be something that's maybe impelled on others, or implanted.
Mm-hmm.
Impelled and implanted would be the two words coming for the different directions. But I'm also looking, there seems to be like there's another element. Wouldn't self-judgment of us and our money and our business, wouldn't the judgment we have also kind of be like a black magic?
Oh, absolutely, it is. You know, the most interesting thing that a lot of people they need to get that you don't actually need somebody else outside of you to destroy your life. You know, you judging it is more than enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, do a good job yourself.
Yeah. And you know, there are various, you know, the word would probably be milder. There are milder energies of black magic. And the one little milder than that is, you know, something called a psychic attack, which is something that people use very, very often. And it's mostly where they sense people projecting onto them. So it's like, oh, you know, I've got a neighbor who's really jealous of me and she does this, this, and this, and I can sense her judging me. So generally my question is like, how much have you already judged yourself in that area that you then actually project onto her? Because you just need somebody else to blame, you know? And it's really asking people to take a look at where have they judged themselves and all their creations, and they've not been able to move beyond it. So, you know, initially, like you very rightly said, that it is about where, you know, people want to see this, you know, as an excuse to not choose more. Like, this is it. So, yeah, judgment absolutely creates more of this than anything else.
So in the act of, let's say, performing black magic, is that when you spoke earlier about inviting entities? So could you talk a little bit more about that, especially for people that might not know much about entities?
Okay, so, well, the simple definition of entities really is it's a defined energy, and we mostly refer to entities as, you know, people who are deceased or who don't have a body anymore. And it's also a subject that is intensely feared because people are not really willing to go there. Now, one of the interesting things that occur is when you actually buy into the existence of black magic, and you feel that it's affecting you and it's present in your life, it doesn't take very long for the totally unconscious or the massively anti-conscious disembodied beings to actually walk in, because you are being that energy that matches them. So they feel rather very comfortable with you and your body or your home, and it's a great parking lot for them. You know, they just come and park themselves there. And you literally unconsciously have given them permission to stay.
All right. And what is it that they do in terms of then, you know, I want to say destroy areas of your life?
So one of the things that entities are, these kind of entities are mostly looking for is a body. So you have already been in a space, if you're bought into black magic, you're already in a space where you've given up control of your life. You're given up, you know, choosing for yourself and choosing more and consciously. And it creates these dark areas where you're not willing to look at it, where you're not willing to have awareness. And they literally walk in and they maintain those areas exactly as is, or make it even worse. So one of the funny ones that actually comes up for a lot of people who have black magic in their life is with money. You know, when they have that, there can also be, you know, financial demons that you can invite. And these are not necessarily entities as in like a person, but these are also the darker energies that are there.
Okay. All right. So, okay, that's rather interesting, because I just had the idea where people say, well, if you don't believe in the darker energies, then it's not existing. But we come from this space of, you know, everything exists. So is it merely a case of them becoming, if we get to the space of becoming ignorant, what's available, is that us cutting off our awareness?
Sorry, can you repeat the question again? Because it got cut off in between. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, sure. So the question that I had was about some people saying that, you know, if you don't give attention to the darker energies, then it will not have any effect on you. So my question is, we come from a space of everything exists. So are people choosing to not be aware of, you know, what they call darker energies, is that a way of cutting off awareness?
It is, absolutely. It's actually an interesting catch-22 situation, because, you know, on one end, they know that there, it's like, you know, that there is a part of your house that you're not cleaned in a while, and you're aware that that exists, but you don't do it, because you're very afraid of what it's going to unearth or show you. And you kind of feel guilty that, oh my God, you know, I've just gone and crammed stuff into that place in my house, and I don't want to look at it. So it's sort of like that. That's like a really basic example of what people tend to do with their life. So they cram a lot of this stuff in different areas, and then they don't want to look at it. But the thing is that the more you don't look at it, the more it invites this. The more it invites the darker energies and the darker beings, and that definitely doesn't contribute to your life. So, you know, to link that with the black magic is that you actually don't need somebody else to create it. This is also a form of it.
Okay, well, so Aditi, can we play with some tools? You know, let's take money as an example, because it seems to be quite a hot topic for a lot of people, money, sex, and relationships. So could we look at some tools that people can maybe use in these areas? So if they go, you know what, okay, I get it that I have not been in control of my life and I'm choosing to have something different. So what is available to them to play with?
So one of the interesting questions that people could actually ask themselves is, everywhere I have created financial demons, can I return them to whence they came, destroy and uncreate them?
Wow.
And yeah, and this is where you've literally, like, you've put your hands up and you've said, I can't do this. And it's out of your hands. And this is a great clearing for people, you know. So financial demons is a really, really potent tool to clear the darker areas to do with money. And also, you know, like, what invention are you using to create the black magic with your money are you choosing? And all of that, what you're destroying and create.
I'll just say yes, everyone. We do use the clearing on the show.
So right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shots, boys and beyond. So, wow, that really brought up some interesting energy.
Because the one thing when you mentioned the financial demons that came up for me is I've heard with people say, you know, that they are sexual healers. So I'm curious, you know, if there's also something like a financial healer where they'll take on the stuff and demons to try and heal other people.
Well, interesting, because I've actually never heard the term, but it kind of feels like it would exist. It feels super light when you actually say it. There must have been, but it doesn't feel like more of a conscious choice to me. It's not a conscious way of working, because, you know, the sexual healers is still where, you know, you get to have sex with someone who's completely fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting clearing to do with the money as well. So, so it's what stupidity are you using to create the curse of your economic condition you are choosing? And everything that is times a godzillion, will you just right, wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all.
Okay. So could you maybe run that one again, please?
Yeah. What stupidity are you using to create the curse of your social economic conditions you are choosing? This time's a godzillion. Will you destroy and uncreate?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, with the clearing, it goes quiet, and I can't hear you, but I can so feel you. Oh, that is phenomenal. Wow. Okay. So, Aditi, one of the other things that I'm curious about is across all time, space, and realities, right? So do people actually also carry over, for lack of a better word, demons and entities, you know, that will influence their money or their relationships or whatever area from, let's say, previous lifetimes?
Yes. That's a yes. And it all boils down to what they're choosing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they can, in that sense, come back and still choose that. If they haven't really destroyed and uncreated, it would. Yeah.
Okay. And you refer as well as one of the, because this is part of a class that you do, and I'm looking forward to get more information about that. One of the topics that you do cover in the class is the basis on which people use black magic. Okay, so I know we've touched a little bit on that in the beginning. I'm just wondering if there's something else you'd like to say about that.
others for having black magic done on them don't actually realize how much they have invoked and perpetrated it themselves on others, either in this lifetime or some other lifetime. They have to have been familiar with it. They have to know it actually gets created. And very often there are also numerous oaths and vows involved, and all of that actually needs to be cleared. And it's, you know, the clearing for the black magic is sort of like a washing machine. You get put in and, you know, it turns this way and then it turns that way, and then you tumble dry, and you got to clean it inside out, because there literally cannot be any trace of it left when the clearing is done. So we're looking at lifetimes of it, being a perpetrator of it, including something as simple as just not wishing something good for somebody, you know, not having the generosity of spirit towards others, and choosing that continuously in your relationships can also cause it. Mm-hmm. So you really have to take a look at the really subtle areas where you have it present too, and not just be a victim of it and scream bloody murder every time. It's like, oh, this has happened again.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, that actually opened up such a yummy energy in terms of it. It kind of allows me, and I'm wondering if this is possible, right? So all the ideas or the not well wishes that I have done for other people, you know, for however long that would have been, can that also be revoked to cause a change in other people's lives now?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, I have an interesting clearing for that. It's, you know, how many fixed points of views do you have about who, what, when, why, and how others are? And would you be willing to destroy and uncreate whatever percentage of those that you're still holding on to?
Oh, okay.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shots, boys and beyond.
I can see why you love playing with this topic, because it's just so wide.
It is big. It is pretty big.
Okay. And so black magic is just almost not necessarily a small part, but it's a part of what is of, you know, the realm of entity. So can you also talk about, I almost want to say, the other side of entities, you know, the contribution that we can receive from them, if so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not just, you know, there is the realm of the angelic beings and the phenomenal light beings, and then there are teammates that are always with you, willing to contribute to your life. Then there are the nature spirits. There's the spirit of the earth. And these are energies that are intensely nurturing and contributive to your life. And the most beautiful part about being open to receiving that is that they're not really asking anything from you. And initially, when I had stepped into that space, it was so difficult for me to even digest that there could be beings who would always contribute to me without asking for anything back. You know, it doesn't feel like a reality, you know, from how this world functions. And what people tend to do with the world of entities is they only are aware of the space where there are beings, not knowing that there are also these amazing contributive beings. And they put their barriers up, and the stuff that creates the barriers are also judgments and projections. So having to destroy and uncreate that starts to open people up to a greater level of awareness of all of this. And it's also, how much are you really willing to receive, you know? One of the interesting things that I realized is not a lot of people actually love being contributed to.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, they're just not willing to receive the beauty that world of entities, ghosts, and spirits can actually be. So they generally tend to go to fear, because the rest of the world does that. And it's just such an interesting mimicry.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. It's almost, because the phrase that a lot of people use is the fear of the unknown. Okay. Well, we're not necessarily always willing to get to know, you know, the contribution that could be. So,
yeah.
Could you give some examples of how they could contribute to, asking you, whether it's your business. I mean, for you and your business as an example.
Yeah, for me, actually, my business is the biggest example in my life. I get a sense, like, of a city that speaks to me. And it's almost like I could just be sitting in the morning and having coffee with, I have a beautiful balcony where I sit. And it's like, okay, so, you know, universe, show me something that I could create today. And I can literally hear the words in my head. And it's like, okay, this is a city that's asking for attention. And this is a class. And literally, entity communication isn't like how I'm speaking right now. It's never a bunch of words in a sentence. It's always like a download, or you'll just get a flash, or, you know, you'll just get a few words here and there. And it's up to you to string it together to make sense. So that sort of happens very often. And I get shown where I need to go. I get shown who are the people who would contribute. And it's always light. And it's so funny. The couple of times that I've actually lately spoken to a few people, it's like, hey, you know, I'd really like to come to your city and play with you. Would you be willing? And the person often responds, oh my God, you won't believe it. I was just thinking this morning about hosting someone for this class, and I was wondering who would show up. And here you are 6 hours later asking me this.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. This is just one of the smallest ways in which the whole realm of entities contributes to my business.
Okay. So have you always known you had a capacity with entities?
Well, when I was a kid, yes. And I've also been through the whole, massively depressed, clinically depressed, and being an alcoholic phase, which I actually didn't realize what it was until I attended one of my first access classes, and there I learned that that was me trying to numb my awareness out in so many ways. Entity awareness became quite clear about 6 or 7 years ago when I had gone to Germany for a training program of another modality, and there was just this family of four that showed up at my bedside early in the morning, and it scared the daylights out of me initially. And it just freaked me out. And I was alone in my room and I was like, what do you want? And it was funny, but they actually started communicating and they made me feel more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that's the time I realized that I said, I'm either gone completely nuts or there's something here. So I actually came back and I spoke to my husband and he said, why don't you explore this? You know, he says, you may have a certain degree of being psychic. And he says, I know that because you always seem to know what I'm thinking. And it kind of developed from there. And then, of course, I heard about Shannon O'Hara and then the talk to the entities. And then, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. And is that something everybody has, the capacity to work with entities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every child has it. And if every child has it, you have it too as an adult. It's just that you don't want to look at it for whatever reason and justification that you have. It's not something that you want to open up. And, you know, one of the interesting tools that I like asking people is that, what have you decided you never want to open a door to that you actually, if you opened, would gift you everything you've ever asked for?
That is a phenomenal question.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that kind of puts people in a weird space, because all of a sudden they start to access what they could actually get on the other side if they only took that step to open it.
So, well, that is just so phenomenal, because I'm going, oh yes, I'll just open up every bloody door at this point in time. What's hiding? So the other thing that now also came to mind, and it just went out of my head right now, so how interesting is that? We were talking about a capacity that people have. I did hear that is so strange.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
You were actually asking me about this, if this is a capacity every person has?
Yes. And that actually led, thank you so much. that led to me asking, because with a topic like Black Magic and going beyond, I get excited thinking that this is something you actually make non-scary for people and actually give them something to go, you know what, something else is so possible here if you're willing to play with it. So can you talk more about the class as well then?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually began this. Hello? Did I lose you again?
Yeah.
I thought I lost you again.
No, and that's the beauty of it. It just carries on recording, which is so phenomenal.
Okay. Hello?
There we go. It is.
Hey!
Okay. We are back. I was just wondering, you know, must I ask you whether we must find another 20 minutes or something somewhere to talk about the classes and everything else?
Yeah.
Because I know you have to run off now as well.
Yes.
And it's just so interesting. I'm not, I have not had one with so many interruptions before.
Awesome. Well, it's, I generally also tend to have that around electronics and internet. I've actually had a point where I had four air conditioning units in my house catch fire at the same time. They all busted in the same day.
Holy cow.
And my husband just looked at me and he said, "That was you, wasn't it?" I'm like, I
oh, that is so funny. Okay. So, Aditi, I think I mentioned this in the beginning of the show as well. I can see why you love this, because the topics are so diverse. And I would so love for you to tell me and all the listeners about what the class is about and what it entails.
Okay, so, well, as the name suggests, obviously, it is about gaining an understanding of what black magic really entails. You know, and what are the kinds of people that actually feel the need to use that kind of a practice? These are generally the people who, you know, don't feel empowered. They feel completely powerless. They themselves feel like victims very often. And also how it's done in different cultures, like in India, how it's done, and in the Middle East, how it's done, and Africa, how it's done. So we sort of cover all of that. And then we also look at what are the reasons and the points of views that you would have that would invite something like this into your life? And then the biggest part of the class is, what are the clearing tools? There's quite a lot.
One of the things that just went up in my mind as we're talking is, it's so interesting. Because I could in my mind see how people, you know, would wish someone else well, and it's the words, I suppose, but beyond the words, there's an energy. So I'm curious to know about the energetics of black magic. You know, do the words actually matter?
I would say that to a certain degree they do, but for the greater part, it's actually the energy. So it's all the stuff that is secret, hidden, and unspoken, which actually creates more of this in people's lives. And this, of course, you know, when you sort of go in deeper layers in that sense, you know, there are just sometimes where, you know, you meet somebody and you just kind of hate them.
I have not experienced that at all. Never.
And it's like anything and everything that comes out of their mouth, you just want to like, I just don't want this person to exist, you know. And you can't for the life of you get what that thing is. And one of the biggest factors that's behind it is, you know, all the oaths and vows that are there behind. And there are also curses. We also look at curses in this class, curses and damnations, which is generally not very well covered in a lot of other classes. So that's a pretty big area, actually.
Okay.
So lots of elements.
And I also remember that you mentioned that if you perceive someone maybe, you know, wishing certain stuff on you, that the first place to look is start with yourself. How much of that have you actually perpetrated on yourself?
Yeah.
So is it a case that it doesn't come from other people? Or can it only come from other people when we only allow it for ourselves? I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
I would say that it has to already exist in your reality in order to invite more of it externally. Okay. You know, if you're a person who is completely empowered and who really, really gets how, you know, amazing and potent you really are, and someone really delivers a judgment at you, you're going to literally smile at it. You're just going to be like, okay. And you won't see the judgment. You're going to see exactly where they have a lack in their universe.
Okay.
And you also see how much they're actually judging themselves, thinking at the same time that they're actually judging you. So, you know, when one of the beautiful things about this class is it leaves you feeling so completely empowered that anyone delivering any kind of energy at you, you're just so easily able to transmute it without enrolling yourself into it, without aligning or agreeing or resisting or reacting to it. It just becomes so much clearer to see what's going on with people.
And how would allowance fit into, you know, the transmutation of it?
You know, the interesting thing about allowance is I'm very aware of how Gary uses it and Dane uses it and a lot of other facilitators use it. And people say, oh, you know, here's an area where I choose to be in allowance. For me, my interesting point of view about allowance is sort of becomes like a byproduct of something else that you actually choose before it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So can you expand on that a little bit, please? I'm assuming so. An example would be cool.
So, you know, it could be something like maybe, you know, you know a particular... Yeah, okay. I have an example, actually. There's a healer that I know for many, many years, and she and I have always had this strange kind of friction.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to very much resent when, you know, I, you know, started attending access classes and I started doing quote unquote well, and I became successful. And she distanced herself. And a lot of that was sort of in my universe. Oh my God, she's angry with me. She doesn't like me. You know, how we tend to go into the wrongness of us.
Yeah.
And when I actually acknowledged that I was choosing something phenomenal for myself and I sorted my crap out,
mm-hmm.
me, the way I was with her became allowance. So I didn't have to choose allowance. I had to only sort my crap out. I didn't even need to focus on her. Like, the focus was completely off her. And it was more about taking a look at what are the judgments that I had in my universe about me? Where was I already cursing myself? Where was I totally contracting and limiting myself with other people? And when I began to destroy and uncreate that, and I became more space, when I met her, it was so easy. That allowance just came naturally. It wasn't something that I had to remind myself to choose. And that meeting was amazing. And I came back and I was like, wow, the stuff that I used to have with her earlier doesn't exist. That's interesting. Mm. So this is what allowance feels like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is really, really so interesting, because we really get to that. There is no separation. That is what this also is for me, a reminder of. There's no separation. So if you can acknowledge what is going on in your life, and it's definitely from there, it actually changes, what can I say, the outside experience too.
Yeah, and, you know, what if every person that's there in your life currently is your creation, and you are creating these people so that you can take a look at where you're judging you? You're just using them for it, that's it.
I was going to, when you said, I said, oh, there's a couple of them that I can now uncreate. Okay. This is so interesting. I have one more question, if you don't mind, before we ending the show, and that is about our bodies. And I'm wondering how you actually co-facilitate with your body these classes and the topic in general.
Well, it's pretty easy for me, actually. I don't have a point of view that it's going to affect me.
Mm. Okay.
It's really as simple as that. I don't actually know how else to explain it.
But is there a contribution that you would perceive your body to be when you do come into contact with, you know, what other people perceive to be or what they perceive to be their black magic in the understanding of it?
One of the interesting things that initially occurred for me when I actually began to facilitate this class was, you know, having zero patients. So it's something that I've had to really work on because, you know, there are times when there are people who they just choose stupidity. They just do, you know. And for me to really see where I have chosen stupidity and absolutely refuse to choose consciousness and awareness. So they were like a brilliant sort of a marker or an indicator for me to clean that up and change that within me. And when I changed that, the body became a lot easier. So I didn't have to specifically work on my body or run anything for my body. There's just so much ease, you know, when I had these classes, when I facilitate these classes. Because I really, at this point of time, I don't have a point of view that it's going to affect me in any way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one question that I normally ask everyone as an ending off, because I'm aware that there are certain things about this topic that is so obvious for you that might not be obvious for us. And I'm hoping that you can share that something, you know, that could create more ease.
Wow, I think there's just a lot of them. What's actually the most obvious to me is the crazy levels of anti-consciousness that we actually choose without knowing that we do it, where it's not cognitive. Black magic is one of those. It's one of the biggest areas, and, you know, psychic attacks and judgment and curses and all of that. For me, it's very obvious. And a lot of people sort of have to go through the class to get that it is that level of anti-consciousness that they're choosing and they just don't know it. They're not willing to acknowledge it until they've actually been through the class. And it's hugely liberating for them once they're through it. So, yeah.
And this is a live class as well as a teleclass?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. So can you tell us when your next classes are and how people can get in contact with you?
Well, my next class is actually the 27th, 28th, and 29th of November. And it's a worldwide teleseries. It's a three-part teleseries. And one of the easiest ways to actually get in touch with me is through my website, which is www.aditisurti.com. AditiSurti.com.
Okay, awesome. I'm so glad that we haven't missed it. Oh, there's another one coming. Awesome. I'm so happy about that. Aditi, thank you so much for being part of the show, and I am really grateful for the contribution that you are to me, all the listeners, and actually this whole world and planet, you know, with what it is that you are.
Thank you so much. I do realize I'm probably one of the crazy few psycho weirdos who chooses to facilitate with this topic, but it is ease for me, and when something is that ease, I've learned that it is genuinely one of the most valuable things then. So why not?
That is awesome. Everyone that has listened in and everyone that will be listening to the show in the future, thank you so much for joining. And I look forward to maybe meeting you in real life one day. In a real body person and hug.
Thank you so much, Alinda. It's been amazing.
Okay, DT, keep well.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.